Chapter 3. 7.46 billion system ticks following stasis cessation. 324 meters below ground. Heat extraction vent 3012. Jot Krula support base 4276 service caverns. Karst system EDOD 9. Planet EDOD Star Koro. Human designation. Campos Wilderness District. Planet Gao. Cordoba system. A low groan, throaty and distinctly human, rolled from an intersecting conduit ahead. Intrepid Eye stopped immediately and floated up into a nearby dome, inverting her bulky maintenance skin so she could continue to observe the area without exposing it to view. With 10 utility arms dangling beneath a bell-shaped instrument housing, the skin had a tendency to draw unwelcome attention. But Rome's alone continued blithely ahead, crossing in front of the conduit just as a lamp beam shot out to split the darkness of the main passage. The Hurragok was caught in a blue cone of light for a few hundred ticks, a helmet-shaped form with a lumpy body and several long tentacles, floating nearly a meter above the cavern floor. The lamp beam swept swiftly onward, and Intrepid Eye hoped the human had not registered the Hurragok's presence. Then a voice hissed,
"What was that, Ace?"
The lamp beam stopped moving.
"What was what, Major?"
This voice, the one called Hayes, no doubt, was quieter than the first and closer to the conduit mouth. I was looking at Mud.
"Ahead of us,"
the first human, Major, whispered.
"Like a jellyfish floating in the air. Green. Maybe a meter across."
"No idea." Hayes's reply was barely audible to the inadequate microphones on the maintenance skin that Intrepid Eye currently occupied. "Better hang tight, Major." The lamp beam switched off, and the two humans fell silent. Intrepid Eye remained inverted in the dome, waiting for the pair to move on, and hoping Rome's alone would not grow too inquisitive. A rare biological Hurragok of the lifeworker rate. He had only recently begun to encounter surface-dwelling species, and his insatiable curiosity about them was becoming a distraction she could not afford. It had been 76 planet rotations since an automated distress signal from Jot Krula Installation 444-447 had roused Intrepid Eye from her stasis. Her many requests for a status report remained unanswered, and her own attempt to launch a reconnaissance drone had caused a massive cave-in, triggering a disaster that had left covert support base 4276 entirely non-functional. Apparently, the accident had also damaged the base's external communications array, as the only response to Intrepid Eye's call for assistance had been an infestation of humans in the service caverns. They were everywhere. As Intrepid Eye went about her work trying to locate the problem with the communications array, she was constantly avoiding them. She encountered them riding through ventilation tunnels in their primitive vehicles, sitting and talking near steam vents, sloshing around in drainage conduits. Once she even came across several of them bathing in a settling pond, laughing and splashing about without any thought to the damage they were doing to the filtration system. Intrepid Eye had been tempted to handle that problem with a few hundred volts of electricity, but such an attack would have been a gross violation of protocol. Jot Krula covert support bases were designed to be indiscernible from the native terrain, and it would have been unthinkable for an Archeon-class Ancilla to compromise one in a simple fit of pique. At last, a low rustle sounded from the conduit, and Intrepid Eye watched in infrared as a lightly armored human, Hayes, she assumed, squirmed into the main passage. He was cradling a projectile weapon in both arms and rotating his helmet back and forth, no doubt using his own thermal imaging system to inspect the area. Rome's alone could not resist the temptation. The soldier's shoulders had barely cleared the mouth of the conduit when the Hurragok began to descend from above, tentacles splaying to initiate an examination. Hayes yelled in surprise and rolled onto his side, swinging his weapon up toward the Hurragok. Intrepid Eye had no choice. She hit the human with 3,000 volts. The brilliance of the flash washed out her infrared imaging, so she switched to optical. Hayes was sprawled face up, dangling out of the conduit and caught in the throes of a seizure. His chest armor was glowing white from the heat of the strike, his weapon clanging against the cavern floor every time he suffered a spasm and squeezed the trigger again. Rome's alone hovered above the stricken soldier, waiting for the firearm to fall silent so he could save the human. It was an intention intrepid eye expected. Like all Huragok, Rome's alone lived to maintain and repair, which meant he felt compelled to mend any damaged life form he encountered. At first, intrepid eye had been willing to indulge the Huragok's compulsions, even among humans, because Rome's alone was always careful to eliminate any memory of his presence. But that did not prevent his patients from realizing that they had been healed while inside the caverns. Word had spread, and now desperately ill humans had begun to swarm into the cave system in search of their own cure. Hayes's firearm finally depleted its ammunition and fell silent. Intrepid Eye quickly dropped out of the dome, where Rome's alone would be able to see her, and began to twist the maintenance skin's utility arms through a rough approximation of the Huragok sign language. "Leave him. Too dangerous." Rome's alone extended his headstock and turned three eyes toward Intrepid Eye, then signed, "He suffers." "It cannot be helped," Intrepid Eye replied. The newest arrivals, the soldiers, were Intrepid Eye's real problem, of course. They had begun to map the service caverns and work their way down toward the heart of the support base. Suspecting that they were searching for Rome's alone, Intrepid Eye had transmitted yet another emergency request for aid. Then, hoping to buy time for help to arrive, she had activated her aggressor sentinels and unleashed them on the soldiers. 600 million system ticks later, nearly a week as humans measured time, Intrepid Eye had been down to half the sentinel complement, and still no help had come. Changing strategies, she had taken the risk of eavesdropping on the soldiers' communications, and learned that the situation was far worse than she had imagined. Not only were the soldiers aware of Base 4276's existence, but they were hunting her instead of Rome's alone. Yet Intrepid Eye had also learned that the soldiers were unwelcome visitors on Gao, with only a short time to accomplish their mission before their reluctant hosts forced them to withdraw. And that was when Intrepid Eye had understood how to stop them. Rome's alone continued to hover above Hayes. "Leave him," Intrepid Eye signed again. "Let him recover on his own." A negative ripple ran down Rome's alone's tentacles. "No recover. We'll die." "Better he than you," Intrepid Eye signed, "and better his death than your capture. Our prime directive is to remain hidden." Rome's alone's tentacles fell slack, and for 1,000 clicks, Intrepid Eye thought he might actually obey her order. Then, the Huragok's tentacles began to undulate again. "Problem can be fixed." Before Intrepid Eye could object, Rome's alone dropped down in front of the conduit, then extended three tentacles and wrapped them around Hayes's arm. The soldier's companion, Major, did not understand, of course. From the conduit emerged a human hand holding a sidearm. A pair of loud bangs reverberated through the cavern, and Rome's alone went spinning up the passage, his gas bags whistling as he lost buoyancy. Intrepid Eye shot forward and felt four rounds pierce the outer shell of her maintenance skin. Fortunately, the machine was as sturdy as it was simple, and none of the slugs hit anything more critical than an actuating cylinder. She extended a utility arm and activated an electromagnet, then heard knuckles popping as the sidearm was ripped from Major's grasp. The human cried out in surprise, and the weapon clanged into Intrepid Eye's ferropad. 100 ticks later, faster than any human could have reacted, a request by Major for reinforcements went out over a broad spectrum of wavelengths. This far underground, there was little chance of the transmission reaching anyone who was not in a direct line of sight. But Intrepid Eye activated a spotlight anyway and moved forward to shine its beam into the tight confines of the conduit. She found only an unarmored human squinting into the light, his face contorted with fear and confusion.
"Mayday, mayday," the transmission continued. "Major Ira Halal is under attack. Send help at—"
The transmission ended in a burst of static as Intrepid Eye jammed 15 of the 16 frequencies being utilized. Over the remaining frequency, Intrepid Eye demanded, "Identify yourself. Why did your humans attack?"
"In reply to your request, information classified," the entity said. "In reply to your question, self-defense. Now, identify yourself and surrender."
Intrepid Eye paused for a few hundred ticks as she traced the transmission source to a primitive information processor strapped to Major's forearm. Clearly, the entity within the processor was attempting to make contact with the soldier's primary communications array. And given that the soldiers were from another world, the array would probably have access to an interstellar communications device. Perhaps a supraluminal transmitter or even a quantum entanglement relay, but something that Intrepid Eye could seize and use to contact the Forerunner Ecumen.
"Request denied," Intrepid Eye replied to the processor. She shot a skein of self-guided cables into the conduit and had them wrap themselves around Major's elbow, then began to draw the soldier toward her. He fought back with his free hand, pulling a knife from his belt and hacking at the cables. The blade was too soft to damage the casing, but Major was slashing about wildly, striking the wall as often as he did the cables. Intrepid Eye did not care about the scratches the panicked man was inflicting on the walls, but she could not let him damage that primitive information processor. Not when it was her best hope of learning why she had received no response from installation 444-447 or anyone else in the Ecumen military. Before continuing, Intrepid Eye activated the maintenance skin's rear lens and saw Rome's alone pressed against the far wall of the passage. He was struggling to stay afloat, with his headstock curled back so he could inspect the holes in a deflated gas cell. Satisfied the Huragok would not be able to place himself in further danger when she drew Major out into the main passage, Intrepid Eye quadrupled the rate of extraction. Major screamed and hacked at the cables even more fiercely. He missed badly, cutting his own arm and smearing the walls with blood. More panicked than ever, he brought his legs up and braced his feet against the ceiling in an attempt to wedge himself inside the narrow conduit. It was an ill-conceived plan, for human joints seldom had the tensile strength to stop a mechanical winch. There was a loud pop, then Major shrieked. A disjoined arm came flying out of the conduit and bounced off the maintenance skin's body casing. Intrepid Eye carefully grasped the limb with a tool clamp, then raised it so that the processor strapped to the wrist was directly in front of the maintenance skin's optical lens. "You are a human artificial intelligence," Intrepid Eye observed, ignoring Major's cries. "Tell me your name." "Information classified," the AI responded. "Reply unacceptable."
Intrepid Eye formulated a quick parasite routine and piggybacked it onto an infiltration program, then loaded it into her transmitter and repeated, "Tell me your name."
"Information classified," the AI repeated,
"and your infiltration program is a waste of processing time. I have state-of-the-art encryption and blocking protocols." As the human AI spoke, Intrepid Eye began to retrieve the data packets associated with each word, building an image of her rival. The classified information was designated as Wendell. His state-of-the-art defenses, horribly primitive by the standards of an Archeon and Scylla, of course, had been created by something called ONI, the Office of Naval Intelligence. And the encryption and blocking protocols were designed to protect the secrets of someone called Commander Murtagh Nelson, whom Wendell had been created to serve.
"Indeed, your defenses are formidable."
Intrepid Eye prepared a takeover virus then augmented it with a memory leech that would partition all records pertaining to her and Rome's alone.
I ask for only one favor. Tell me the status of my homeworld, Watera Thraces. And if I answer, you will end these pointless infiltration attempts, Wendell asked. I am growing weary of your ineptitude.
Agree, Intrepid I said. The name Watera Thraces did not collect any data packets from Wendell's memory, so she added, it is in a system only 8.7 light-years from here, the third world of an F2 star with 14 planets. A beautiful world with beautiful cities.
That location corresponds to Shaps 3, Wendell said. But you must be thinking of some other world. Shaps 3 is a wasteland. There is nothing there except Forerunner ruins.
Intrepid I was stunned by the data packets associated with Shaps 3. Packets that referred to a long-deserted world whose ruins had been melted 80 human standard days earlier, or 76 Adad days, by something called a ventral beam of something else called the Pious Inquisitor. The timing coincided with the distress signal that had awakened Intrepid I from her stasis, and so it was hard to dismiss Wendell's data. But the rest was unthinkable.
Perhaps I am thinking of some other world, Intrepid I agreed. Shaps 3 does not sound like Watera Thraces at all.
She dropped Wendell and the arm to which he was attached to the ground, then shined her lamp into the conduit again. Major was attempting to crawl away, leaving a series of blood pools on the cavern floor behind him. Judging by his skin tone and lethargic motion, he would not survive for long. Intrepid I rotated a lens to look down at the processor Wendell inhabited.
Someone will come for you.
Quicker than you would like, Wendell assured her. People are expecting us.
Good.
Intrepid I took note of the data packets attached to expecting, soldiers guarding a kill site, then spun around to help Rome's alone.
We will speak again.
Of that, you may be sure, Wendell said. I know who you are.
Then it is fortunate you will soon forget our meeting.
Despite her confident reply, Intrepid I was disturbed by the images that had accompanied Wendell's last statement. Images of huge soldiers in powerful armor, invincible soldiers who had spent their entire lives learning to hunt and kill and destroy.
But Wendell, I will remember you. I will always.